If you want to know what is really happening in the world today, you need to read the Parsha HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. Join Rabbi Mendel Lipska for the next hour as he delves and enumerates the themes running through the weekly Torah Parsha, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
And a wonderful Erev Shabbos to all of you. Great to be with you. Share some Torah thoughts about this week's Parsha, and more importantly, how it relates to our lives in the situation in which we find ourselves in. Every particular moment, every particular era, wherever we find ourselves, whenever we find ourselves, has a specific message. Each and every one of us has been gifted by God with specific abilities, talents. Each and every one of us has a particular mission in this world. Souls come down from heaven, enter our bodies, not only for us to live, but for us to do something. And primarily, what that is to create a Kiddush Hashem, sanctification of God's name. To some, the mission is huge, to bring about tremendous change in the world, the righteous, the leaders who brought about and bring about tremendous change in the world. But to most, it might be small gestures, but they too, in the grand scheme of things, have tremendous importance. And as we'll talk about a little bit later on, these small gestures are ultimately as important as the huge dramatic actions that change the course of history. And this is why, when we look at the Parsha of the week, and as I always say toward the end of the show, look for something that resonates. Look for something that talks to you. Look for something that speaks to the situation in which you find yourself, not only in terms of trying to find some sort of guidance, which is important as well, but to find that particular key to the mission that you have to fulfill. Each and every one of us is on a mission. Each and every one of us has been gifted by God, not only with specific abilities and talent, but each and every one of us has the incredible gift of being a messenger, of being God's messenger upon this earth, of sanctifying his name. We find ourselves in the second half of the month of Menachem Av. The first half of the month of Av is not pleasant. It's a time of mourning, a time of sadness, as we know. The end of the 3 weeks, the 9 days, culminating with Tisha B'Av, a day of intense sadness and mourning. We commemorate and recall destruction of the first temple, the second temple, the exile of a people, an exile which lasts until this very day. It's a time that we think about a sense of destruction and loss. And then comes the 15th of Menachem Av. We celebrated that day this past Shabbat. And the 15th of Av has all sorts of important activities, important events that took place on that day. One of them, interestingly enough, is something which most people know very little about, but it has an extremely significant effect upon this entire month and the entire year. On the 15th of the month of Menachem Av, in the northern regions, particularly Israel, is when the intense heat of the summer months is diminished. In the north, of course, where it's summer, it's a time of intense heat. On the 15th of Av, we're told, the heat is diminished. Our sages tell us something which is very important, because this is not a bit of information about weather. It has deep and powerful significance. The sun, which provides heat and light, which nourishes the earth, enables things to grow, enables us to live decent and normal lives. But the sun, unfortunately, is worshipped by a great many. The sun is worshipped by those who might see it as an instrument of God, but they worship it nonetheless, as Maimonides tells us. On the 15th of Av, that intensity of idolatry is diminished. It's weakened. And this is something which is important for us to understand. What is idolatry? Idolatry is not only standing in front of a graven image and bowing down to it, or worshiping something man-made. The Hebrew term for idolatry is avodah zarah, which translated literally means strange service. What does that actually indicate? Strange service? A service which is strange to the core of godliness, Torah, and Judaism. It might look okay, it might sound okay, but it's strange. It's a avodah zarah. It's something which is somewhat bizarre and therefore has to be rejected. It's something which interferes with the sanctity of godliness. It's something which interferes with the holiness of Torah. Oh, it might look like it's holy. It might look like it's acceptable, but it's a avodah zarah. And this takes knowledge to know what, in fact, this particular type of service is. Is it authentic? Is it consistent with the will of God? Is it consistent with the truth of Torah? Or is it strange? Is it bizarre? And therefore to be rejected. On the 15th of Av, and the days thereafter, the sun is weakened. Avodah Zarah is weakened. The bizarre and strange connection that people have with idolatry and anything that represents idolatry in all its shapes and forms is weakened. It's a time that return to authentic godliness, to true Torah, becomes so much easier, so much more real. It is a time that a person can connect through the core of his soul to the essence of God through the observance of Torah and mitzvot. It's a time that evil, negativity, that which is wrong, that which is strange, that which is bizarre, is weakened. We live in a world, if you look around the world, there are so many strange and bizarre types of behavior that exist. And we often wonder, how is it that rational, intelligent human beings can submit to these strange and bizarre forms of behavior, something which is completely foreign to the authenticity of Torah, to the tradition of our people? But that is the way humans function. They can and will behave in strange ways. The second part of Av, of Menachem Av, of this month, is a time that the heat of the sun, the heat of idolatry, is weakened and diminished. It's a time that we can identify what is authentic, what is real, and the road to return becomes so much easier. It becomes so much clearer. It's a time that we can actually rejoice in the fact that we can identify who and what we are and where our home base is. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
The Parsha this week is Akiv. And it is the ongoing farewell speech by Moshe to his people. And Moshe, as we've talked about so often, is the ultimate leader. The ultimate leader because not only is he an exceptionally gifted person who led the people out of Egypt, brought down the Torah, speaks to God, a man of incredible, incredible greatness. But perhaps his single greatest gift is his absolute devotion to his people, a preparedness to protect them on every single level, come what may. And therefore, it's important for us to listen carefully to the book of Deuteronomy, which essentially is his goodbye, his farewell to his people, because he will not accompany them across the Jordan when the Jewish people enter the promised land. He was told by God that he will stay on this side. He will not come into the promised land. And therefore, each and every single word that he says is not merely again repeating that which happened, a review of all Jewish history up to that point. It goes far beyond that. He's instructing them, he's guiding them, he's telling them, these are the things you must take notice of. These are the things that will protect you. These are the things that you have to look out for. These are the rules, the regulations. These are the items that will protect you as you go into the new challenge of coming into the promised land. And in this week's parasha, his speech continues, and the opening words are Hoya Ekef Tishmon. It's an interesting turn of phrase. Translated simply, if you will listen. But the words translated literally don't convey that. Ekev is, well, if. Ekev can also be a heel. And Rashi, the main commentary on Torah, tells that there are certain commandments that a person, well, steps on under his heel. Insignificant mitzvot. The person says to himself, these are not important. These are, well, minutiae. There are certain important commandments. There are certain important instructions from God. Certain important mitzvot. But these are, well, insignificant. And therefore, he steps on them. He steps on them under his heel. And what Moshe is saying, don't make that mistake. These insignificant, or what you consider insignificant, mitzvot are important, and therefore listen to them. Our Kabbalist and Hasidic masters go beyond that. They say, Behoya Ekef Tishmaun, even your heel should learn to hear and understand what God is saying. In other words, we know that our minds, our hearts, our higher dimensions are able to receive the word of God and be sensitive to those instructions. But we have to refine ourselves to such a degree that even the lowest part of the human body, the heel, is sensitive to the word of God as well. To elevate even the lowest level, to become a keli, to become a vessel to the word of God. Two separate ideas. What Rashi is saying is those insignificant, or what you consider insignificant, commandments should be observed. What the Kabbalists and Hasidic masters tell us is to elevate the heel to a higher level. There is nothing low about each and every one of us. The question is, how do we achieve those things? How do we actually have the ability of seeing something that we consider insignificant, and each and every one of us, from time to time, makes that mistake? We do say to ourselves, this is important, this is unimportant. This is significant, this is insignificant. And moreover, how do we actually elevate our heel to such a level that it too becomes sensitive to the word and will of God? Our minds, our hearts, it's a challenge. Well, we can understand that. But our heel? Our heel, which is, well, our heel. Our heel, which is not the sensitive part of our body. to elevate that dimension? And the answer lies in the word Tishmu, if we learn to listen. We've often discussed the idea of listening as opposed to seeing. Listening is the art of Bina, understanding, comprehension, looking at detail, looking at each and every single detail. Chachma is wisdom, where all the knowledge is encapsulated in one flash, in one dot. We're overwhelmed by the majestic presence of great, great wisdom. Bina, listening, understanding, is the slow process of analysis, of understanding something, at looking at each and every single detail. And when we do that, and when we begin to look at each and every single detail, we begin to see the importance of each and every single detail. When we look at the big picture only, we lose sight of each and every single detail. It no longer has importance because we see the big picture. But when we look closely, minutiae becomes important. Detail becomes significant. Not only significant, but vital. It's like on your computer. You put a full stop where a comma should be, and the thing won't work properly. Because small things are big things in the grand scheme of things. And this is something which is so important to understand. But how do we do that? How do we begin to look at detail? And the Parsha goes on to talk to us about something which is so relevant. It says that you'll come into the land and you'll say to yourself, these nations that surround me, they are mighty and powerful and many. How can we possibly take possession of this land when there are powerful nations around me? And what does God say? What does Moses tell the people? Remember the miracles that you experienced and your forebears experienced coming out of Egypt, and while they wandered through the wilderness for 40 years. Recognize the miracle in everything. Because once you recognize the miracle in everything, you'll recognize the power within yourself. You'll begin to see the holiness and the power of each and every single detail in everything. A magnificent passage in this week's Parsha. God says, why did I give you the manna? In order that you should know, ki lo al alechem levado yichya ha'adam, man does not live by bread alone, but rather upon the word of God that is contained therein. If you look at the physical world and see only a physical world, then you've missed the point. But if you look at the physical world and you recognize the miracle within, the godliness within the physical dimension, you begin to appreciate the presence of God and the detail of each and every single thing that God brings into being. Imagine that a seed which is tiny results in the birth of a human being, not only a physical creature with all the features of a physical creature, but a thinking, strong individual that has feelings, that has imagination, that has creativity, that has the ability of what human beings are able to do. Look at the world. And that comes from a tiny seed. the miracle of birth, the miracle of everything that surrounds us, the miracle of the physical world in which we live. Recognize the miracle. And this is something which is so important to understand. We talked about it. That one of the most tragic symptoms of exile, of galut, is that the one to whom a miracle happens doesn't recognize the miracle. We take things for granted. This is the way it is. The sun rises, the sun sets. You plant seeds into the ground and things grow. Children, grandchildren, generations, well, that's the way it is. It's a natural physical phenomenon. And what a tragic mistake that is when we stop seeing the hand of God in everything. That's when things start falling apart. When we turn everything into a pure physical natural reality. When we stop seeing the marvelous, miraculous, magical miracle in everything. And something which is so important for us to understand. Because the pasuk continues and says, there might come a time, God forbid, where you'll make the mistake and you look around and you see this incredible country and world that you live in. And you'll say to yourself, Kochi ve'otzim yadi, asali sachayel hazeh. It's my own strength, my own power. My own hand. I made this myself. What a foolish, tragic statement a human being can make. That a human being can create this sort of thing on his own, to make this world, to create this type of beauty and wealth on his own, on her own. Stop seeing the miracle. To stop seeing the hand of God. This is where exile sits in. This is when fragmentation starts taking place. This is when division starts taking place. This is when things start falling apart. Because the miracle, the godly presence, unites us, binds us, brings us together, makes us strong. But if it's each and every one of us doing our own thing, we stop seeing the detail of God's creation. And things begin to fall apart. And this is what this parsha is saying. This is what Moshe is saying to his people prior to coming into the promised land. More of this soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
We're talking about this incredible speech that Moshe is making and telling the Jewish people, learn to remember the miracles that happened to you. Learn to remember what took place at every single turning point of your particular situation. Learn to remember that whenever there was a challenge, God was there. And as long as you recognize the miracle, you are safe. As long as you recognize the miracle of God, the presence of God, the holiness, you're safe. And this is why this week's parsha, we read the second paragraph of the Shema prayer. Last week in Bat Hanan, we read the first, the Shema paragraph, the Ahavta. And this week we read V'Hoya Im Shema. The second paragraph has certain similarities to the first, but it's very, very different. Different in the sense that the first speaks about, then you will love God, and you will do what you have to do, and study the Torah, observe the commandments, etc., etc., etc. The second paragraph is conditional. It's conditional in the sense that it says, if you will fulfill the will of God, if you will listen to his commandments, then all sorts of blessings will come. But then, God forbid, if you don't, those blessings won't come as quickly and as clearly as they should. and as you need them. It's conditional. The second paragraph of the Shema talks about the contractual relationship we have with God. Yet the first speaks about our commitment to loving God, to doing that which He asks of us. But the second one talks about our partnership with God, where God says, in order for this creation to function properly, you and I have to enter a partnership. I will provide everything that this creation, this world, that you need, but I need you to do certain things as well to ensure that the flow of blessing is clear and comes in great measure. And what I need you to do is that the fulfillment of the commandments has to be done in a way that ensures that these blessings continue in a good and positive way. The relationship between ourselves and God. That's the second paragraph of the Shema. And if you look through the entire Parsha this week, this is what it says. You'll have challenges. You'll have difficulties. You'll encounter strong and mighty nations. And you might become frightened, but don't worry. Moshe says, God will be there as He has been with you all this time, all these generations, in all situations. But there's something you have to do as well. You have to recognize the presence of God. You have to recognize the essence of who you are. You have to acknowledge through action the partnership that you, in fact, agreed to and undertook. The contract that you made with God. V'haya im shemala. And this is something which is so important. It's important for us to understand that God gave us an incredible gift. That we can partner with Him. Oh, God could have created the world differently. He could have put everything into place. And that was it. But God said, I am empowering each and every one of you to become my partner, to ensure that this flow of blessing comes, that creation is not only dependent upon me, says God, it's also dependent upon you and your behavior. And this is what we have to recognize in order to see the blessings that come from God. It's vital. And if you take a look at the last words of the Parsha, it says, and you'll march forward with greatness, and the fear of the nations of the world will be upon you. They will look at you, and they will recognize who you are. And if we apply that to what's taking place in the world today, think about that. Think how important that is, how necessary that is. And as I said earlier on, it's vital that we understand that. A word from the marketplace before we continue. The final countdown is on. Limit kicks off this weekend. Join us for a Sunday of learning and connecting like none other. Explore Jewish identity, satire, spirituality, and history. From archaeological find in ancient synagogues to writing while Jewish from Is Empathy Still Possible? To Are We Replaying the 1930s with a Global Instability and a Rising Far Right? 10 sessions an hour, 130 plus speakers. Weekend, waitlist only. Sunday, still open, but not for long. Secure your spot now at limud.org.za. Limud. 2025, where ideas come alive. As I said earlier on, in order to have this flow of blessing, you have to have unity. Fragmentation creates distortion. Distortion among the people, and distortion to the flow of God's blessing. Akif Tishmon. We have to ensure that the detail becomes important, nothing becomes insignificant, nothing becomes unnecessary. Everything is part of God's great plan. And we are the ones who are able to put it all into effect. So I say, as I say every single week, when you're in shul tomorrow, and you listen to the portion of the week being read, and I assure you that the portions of Devarim of Deuteronomy are magnificent. Each section, each sentence contains volumes. And not only one, but many will resonate with you, I assure you. You will hear special things talking to you. And listen carefully, because they're carrying a message of incredible importance to you. And you have, as I said earlier on, a mission. A mission of Kiddush Hashem, of sanctifying the name of God. And that strength will come to you from the words of Torah. So listen carefully, because you will hear it. It's within the words of the Parsha. It's within the words of Torah. It will speak to your heart, to your mind, to your soul, and to your body. It will speak to you directly. The Chabbos.